Recently, the GE subcommittee of the Public Health Commission recommended that the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors institute a moratorium, a precautionary moratorium, on the planting and production of genetically engineered crops in Santa Cruz County. And I'm joined right now on the phone by Artie Mangan to talk about that. Artie Mangan served on the Santa Cruz County Genetic Engineering Subcommittee, which has recommended a moratorium, as I mentioned, on the planting and growing of genetically engineered crops in Santa Cruz. He started a fresh organic apple juice business in Santa Cruz in 1978, and since 1998 has been the Food and Farming Program Director for the Collective Heritage Institute, which produces the Bioneers Conference. Hello, Artie.
Hi, George.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Maybe you can tell us, when was the GE Subcommittee of the Public Health Commission convened, and how long did it take you to come to this recommendation or this decision, this vote to recommend to the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors this precautionary moratorium?
The committee was convened almost a year ago. The Board of Supervisors called it together about a year ago, and we've met for 10 months. It was a group that was comprised of each supervisor got to pick two representatives to this subcommittee, and there were sort of automatic appointments for two from the public health arena and the agriculture commissioner of Santa Cruz County. So 13 members of the committee. We then started to research the issues around genetic engineering, how they affected Santa Cruz County, what were the regulatory issues, the economic issues, health issues, environmental issues. And through a heavily researched process, the report itself is 56 pages and there's hundreds of citations in there, as well as coming to a consensus on just about everything in that report. The subcommittee made the recommendation June 6th to the Board of Supervisors to put in place a precautionary moratorium until certain conditions are met.
And what are those conditions?
The conditions, first and foremost, we said that the state of California really should be the entity that should be regulating genetic engineering crops. The way it works right now is that the committee found that at the federal level, USDA, FDA, and EPA, really at best their standards are insufficient to protect public health. And in fact, USDA did an in-house audit recently and found that they're not even living up to their own insufficient standards. And at the state level, they basically act as agents for the federal regulatory agencies. And when a biotech company, for example, wants to do a planting in Santa Cruz, a trial planting in California, the CDFA, California Department of Food and Agriculture, asks on their application where that trial planting is going to be, and the company then comes back and puts CBI, confidential business information, and doesn't make that information available even to the state of California. So basically the state of California doesn't have much say in the matter at all. So that forces us at the county level to say, well, okay, if there are serious issues around this new technology, and the federal government's not doing the job, and the state's not doing the job, and we at the county level are forced to make some kind of decision around this.
So a key part of this decision that the committee you served on came to was that this moratorium, this precautionary moratorium on GE crops in Santa Cruz County would be lifted when the conditions that you mentioned were met, and that would mostly be around the state actually regulating?
Yeah, the conditions are, first and foremost, that the state puts in a regulatory structure that conforms to the following criteria. And those criteria would be ensuring that there were sufficient buffers between a genetically engineered crop and a non-genetically engineered crop so that there would be no cross-contamination. So that's one. Two would be that any pharmaceutical genetically engineered crops, because they're now growing drugs in plants. Any of that kind of stuff would have to be done in certified and enclosed facilities that are licensed by the state and federal government. Right now, they're allowed to do this in open fields, again, without the state of California knowing even where it is. So the third one would be the long-term health studies. Fourth one would take the would give farmers or gardeners who are contaminated by genetic engineering the ability to have some financial recourse. Right now, if you're contaminated, you may be you may not only suffer the contamination, you may be liable yourself, because under the patent laws, the way that they're written, says that if you're contaminated, you now have the genes that are owned by the biotech company, and typically they charge a licensing fee for those genes. So we would want to give a liability protection to folks who are contaminated. And then there would be labeling of seeds and rootstock of all genetically engineered crops. So right now, none of that's labeled. You may be buying seeds you don't even know are genetically engineered, because there's no requirement to even label the seed stock and the seeds and the rootstock.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the criteria that would be put in place before the county of Santa Cruz would then lift its moratorium.
So this isn't really a ban on genetically engineered crops being grown in Santa Cruz County. Planted and produced in Santa Cruz County. It's more moratorium until these conditions are met.
Well, it's a very powerful technology. There are real questions around health and environmental consequences. So we're saying, let's put some common sense to something that for, you know, maybe 20 years has not really had to answer to a strict regulatory enforcement, and that's, again, at the federal level, they're just not doing the job.
Mm-hmm. And you so, even pointed
out... It would only be a moratorium until these common sense conditions were put in place. Now, the biotech industry would have to do some catch-up in terms of how they go about things and make some significant changes, but that's their responsibility to do that.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, a recent audit conducted by the USDA's Inspector General found that the agency is not living up to its own protocols for GE crop regulation, and that's the federal level. Same things happening, you know, well, I imagine. So how is California, there's just no regulation? Is that the picture
California? The state of California relies on the federal government. So federal government, there's basically three regulatory agencies that that genetically engineered crops have to move through. One is USDA, and as you just mentioned, their own audit said that they're deficient. And some of the findings that they came across when they did their investigation were they themselves didn't even know the locations of some of the trials. These are we're talking about research plots that are, you know, could be next to commercial farms that USDA is supposed to be monitoring, doesn't even know where that is. Or in some cases, residue from genetically engineered crops or genetically engineered pharmaceutical crops was left in the field for like 10 months where seed and pollen could scatter, again, into who knows where.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they've even the committee itself found, even before that report, that the federal level, best case scenario, the structure wasn't in place to really protect the public interest. And then USDA Inspector General said, "We're not even living up to our own standards."
Mm-hmm. So that was that lack of regulation was one of the critical issues of concern that led the GE subcommittee to recommend this countywide adoption of a precautionary moratorium on the planting and production of genetically engineered crops in Santa Cruz County. I want to talk about some of the other critical issues of concern that led you to this recommendation. But first, I want to, if you would, let folks know how they can have a say in this, because there is an upcoming County Board of Supervisors meeting where there will be public comment. And correct me if I'm wrong, the County Board of Supervisors has not voted on this yet.
On June 6th, the supervisors approved unanimously to go forward to have the county council craft language for an ordinance that would support the recommendations of the subcommittee. So there's a few steps to the process. On June 20th, Tuesday, there will be a reading of that language and a public hearing, and then a vote by the supervisor to either approve or not approve the language for that ordinance.
But hang on. So they have basically approved this recommendation, but they're just trying now to craft the language of the ordinance?
Yeah, but it's very important that each step of the way is very important and significant. So it's really good for people to let their supervisors or even all of the supervisors know that they support not only the ordinance but the language in place. And the county council did an excellent job representing the wishes and recommendations of the subcommittee. So people can get in touch with their board of supervisors by simply making a phone call, calling 454-2200, and you can leave a message for one or all of the supervisors. And the supervisors are very attuned to what the public thinks and what's going on. So this is really an opportunity for people's voices to make a difference here. If they're interested in viewing the ordinance or sending comments via email, they can go to www.co.santacruz.ca.us. Then you go to the bottom of the page, see that you'll see the sign says the Board of Supervisors, and then you'll click on Agenda and Minutes, go down to June 20th, and then you'll scroll to item 64. It mentions the subcommittee and the Public Health Commission. And there's a white envelope where you click on that. You can write your comments in there, and that'll go to all the supervisors, and it'll become part of the public record.
And that website, again, is www.co.santa-cruz.ca.us.
Exactly.
We'll be giving out all this information again at the end of the interview, so get your pencils and paper ready to jot down all this info at the end. But again, the phone number to call the County Board of Supervisors, Artie?
454-2200.
And the website, www.co.santa-cruz.ca.us. And again, if you could run through really quick the process once they've gone to that website.
Bottom of the page, you'll see Board of Supervisors. Click on Agenda and Minutes. Then you'll go to June 20th Agenda, and you'll scroll to item 64. And that'll talk about the subcommittee and the Public Health Commission report. And there is, if you click on the white envelope, you can then make your comment.
Send an email. Okay, so those are a couple ways you can comment before the meeting, but the meeting itself is on Tuesday, June 20th at 9 a.m. It's located in room 525 of the County Government Building at 701 Ocean Street. And what do people want to do if they're going to attend that? What are some of the suggestions?
My suggestion is that they let the supervisors know that they support the recommendations and they support the ordinance as written, so that this can get done, and Santa Cruz can then, be in a situation where it can protect the health of its citizens and its environment. Because, as we said, the regulation is not happening. The rest of the other government. At other government levels, they're just not taking care of business on that.
Right. So people will be given 3 minutes to make their remarks.
Exactly.
Or they can submit their comments in writing to the board at the meeting. And if you are driving, if you're riding a bike, not to worry, or taking public transportation, but if you're driving, it's recommended to arrive early, as parking can be challenging there at the County Government Building, 701 Ocean Street, and the room again, 525. Tuesday, June 20th at 9 a.m. is when you'll have the opportunity to make your public comment to the County Board of Supervisors meeting. Of course, the other ways are email and phone. We'll go over all that information again at the end of the interview. I'm speaking with Artie Mangan. Again, he served on the Santa Cruz County Genetic Engineering Subcommittee, which has recommended a moratorium on planting and growing of genetically engineered crops in Santa Cruz. They recommended that to the County Board of Supervisors, who accepted it, is now drafting an ordinance, the GE Precautionary Moratorium Ordinance. So, Artie, I want to get into some more of the concerns that led you to your conclusion. You already talked about the incredible lack of regulation on genetically engineered crops, and you've alluded to some of the other things as well when you talked about what would be required to lift this moratorium. But can we go into a little more depth on some of this stuff, starting with the possible health impacts?
Sure. Well, first, you know, I want to say that I really applaud the supervisors for calling this subcommittee under the auspices of the Health Commission, Public Health Commission, Santa Cruz, which illustrated that they understood that this is not just an agricultural issue, but it's a public health issue as well. And so, I mean, some of the background for this is, one, there's no health testing required. Again, we go back to this is the FDA, right, Food and Drug. They started out with this thing, with a theory, basically an assumption that they called substantial equivalence, which said that if you take a gene that's living in one species, whether it's plant, animal, or bacteria, and you put that in a different species, could be animal to plant, it could be bacteria to plant, it's all ending up in a plant because it's agriculture. Then there's no reason to think that crossing that species boundary, which would never happen in nature, this is done in laboratory, there's no reason to think that would create a problem. So we're going to just assume that these are not going to be harmful, and we're not going to require rigorous testing. What they do ask for, so if you're a biotech company and you've got a new genetically engineered product that you want to get on the market, you are asked to voluntarily submit the summary of your findings, not the actual data, but just the summary of your findings. So we don't really know in terms of what the implications are. There are claims out there that say that genetic engineering has not been proven unsafe. We take a different, the precautionary moratorium, the findings from the subcommittee, is saying that, well, it hasn't really been proven safe, and until it has, we should collect more data. We know that DNA, so a genetic engineering process takes DNA from these species into another species. We know that DNA not only survives digestion, it gets into the blood, it can end up in the organs, and in fact, it can transfer through the placenta into the unborn child. So there's some serious consequences of this, and now there have been some laboratory studies in other countries on animals that show that there are concerns around genetic engineering from a health point of view.
Now, in terms of farmers and gardeners, what are some of the impacts on them that led you to this decision to recommend this precautionary moratorium?
Two things, really. There's the issue of contamination. So contamination is an issue around preserving biodiversity, and it's also an economic issue. So if you're a farmer and you've got a crop that's not genetically engineered, and your neighbor's growing a genetically engineered crop, and you get contaminated through pollen or seed scatters into your field, you may have an economic impact because, particularly if you're going to an export market like Japan or Europe, where they have rejected commodities that are shipped there if they find that there's genetically engineered contamination. Their standards are much higher than ours. The environmental issue in terms of contamination comes out to where some of these domesticated plants cross-pollinate with, you know, weedy wild relatives. One of the technologies that these crops have been genetically engineered for is resistance to an herbicide called Roundup. When that resistance transfers to weeds, and in some cases, there are different biotech companies that have resistance to their own herbicides. So there's two or three different genes that have got resistance to one or two or three different herbicides. If in fact some of those plants get resistance to cross-pollinate, they've now found what they call superweeds, which have resistance to Roundup and other herbicides. So now you could spray Roundup, it won't kill the weed. You could spray another herbicide, it wouldn't kill the weed. And so you create these superweeds that aren't controlled with, you have to go to even stronger herbicides.
So when they say that genetically engineered crops reduce, when they claim they reduce the use of pesticides, it's just completely false. In fact, it's the opposite.
Well, that claim has been made, and the opposite claim has been made. And I would say that it really depends on what lens you're looking at, in terms of that kind of. I think the jury is really still out in terms of reduction of pesticides. They say that mainly with the BT crops, which is cotton and corn, and BT is a natural bacteria that is toxic to certain pests that eat corn and cotton. So that's where they're making that claim. But in fact, the Roundup with Roundup resistance, that could actually be different. So it really depends on what crops you're looking at, and the usage of the genetic engineering. So I don't think you can make a claim, which has been made by the biotech industry, I don't think you can clearly make a claim that it's reduced pesticides, no.
What about the legal situation? There's been farmers who not only have no legal recourse if they have their crops contaminated by GE pollen or seeds, but there's actually been the opposite, where they've been pursued legally. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, this goes back to the patenting of these new or novel organisms once the genetic transfer is made. And this is also very controversial. The subcommittee got into it to the extent it says we need to provide some liability recourse to people who are contaminated. But if you talk about the patenting of it, I mean, this is kind of what drives this whole process, and that is that once this genetic engineering takes place, the developer can then go to the patent office and put a patent on it and own those genetics. And this is kind of a new way of looking at patents. I mean, if you go back far enough, you know, patents were originally provided inventors of machines, basically, some protection until they could develop and profit from that invention. But now we're saying we're going to patent things, genetics, which the biotech companies did not invent the genetics. They've just played around with it. They've just moved them from one place to another, creating this novel organism, and now own those genetics. So there have been cases where people have been contaminated and then sued by the biotech industry or specific companies because they own the contamination. They own because the genetics showed up in their fields, and they've said you owe us $15,000 or $20,000, depending on the size of the person's acreage. So it's the public is very vulnerable. Farmers are very vulnerable if contamination occurs. I mean, it wasn't their fault. They didn't want it, and yet they can still get sued and lose money on something that they really should be able to collect damages on.
So among the issues that led to this GE subcommittee recommendation to adopt a precautionary moratorium on GE crops in Santa Cruz County is exactly what you're talking about, farmers and gardeners being very vulnerable to having their crops contaminated, but also to legal action by the biotech industry. Also, you mentioned a lack of adequate safeguards to prevent contamination of wild plants as well, and threats to human health, to the environment, and also just the fact, the overview being that, you know, there's virtually no regulation. So this leads me to... Go ahead.
Excuse me, but the one that we didn't talk in depth about, which is maybe the most concern of all, is the fact that they're producing pharmaceutical crops, pharmaceutical drugs in food crops like corn. And we said before that the state of California may not even know where that trial is, and then USDA admits they didn't even know where some of these trials were. So they could be doing, and this is a fact, a pig vaccine in corn in some unknown location. Corn pollen can travel at up to 6 miles, depending on winds and those kind of things. And if you're growing corn, corn readily crosses. You could unknowingly be producing a crop with a drug in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's going to eat that crop? I mean, so that was the other one, that those kind of things have to be contained in enclosed. I mean, that's just...
Sometimes drug-containing crops find their way into the food supply, and they...
There was one situation where, and it was exactly what I was talking about. The pig vaccine was grown in corn. There was some residue and seed that had stayed in the ground. They grew a soybean crop the next year. It was a deregulated commercial crop. Harvest that. In some cases, there was some of the corn in it, and that had to be recalled. So there is a risk of that with the lack of regulation and the fact that these drugs can be grown in plants in open air.
It almost seems like the overarching problem, you know, other than all the risks and to health, environment, et cetera, that we've talked about with genetic engineering, it seems like, aside from those basic risks, that one of the overarching problems, aside from this approach that you mentioned of, well, it hasn't been proven unsafe, so therefore it's safe, is the fact that it's so hidden that consumers don't have a choice, basically, that GE seeds and rootstock for gardeners and farmers, that's not labeled. Foods that have been genetically engineered, as far as I know, are not labeled in the stores.
Absolutely not in the United States.
So this is kind of a hidden thing. We don't even know if GE crops are being grown in Santa Cruz County, right? I mean, can you talk about that whole thing of how it's all kind of hidden and how we don't really have a choice?
Right. Well, you said it. I mean, really, you would think that, you know, for labeling fats and sugars and things like that, why don't we label the fact that it's been genetically engineered? Now, that was an issue for the subcommittee, but we felt it was beyond our purview in terms of what a county could do. But it's a big one, because at least if this technology is out there and it's not being regulated sufficiently and there are health concerns and issues, then at least people give people a choice. But that's not taken place. The subcommittee basically tried, checked the system and said, okay, well, let's try to find out where some of these crops are being grown. And we did a Freedom of Information Act, 7 different requests. One was answered, and 6 came back and said, we're not able to provide the information within our legally required time limit. And that was the end of that. So even going through the proper channels and taking the effort to go through the Freedom of Information Act to the USDA didn't even result in our ability to find out whether crops were grown in Santa Cruz or other counties. So absolutely, the public has been in the dark on this.
Now, this, the GE subcommittee's recommendation to have a GE precautionary moratorium in Santa Cruz County on the growing, planting of, and growing of genetically engineered crops, how is this going to be implemented once the language is written, if we don't know where GE crops are being grown, or even if they are in Santa Cruz County, then How can this be enforced?
Well, that's a really good question, and this is one of the reasons I encourage people to do, as we said, you know, write, email, or show up and let supervisors know, because the county council wrote an enforcement policy in there, and so this ordinance is now under the auspices of Public Health Commission as well as the Agricultural Commissioner, and they have put with it fines and or jail time. So there's some teeth into this ordinance. We still have the issues of how do you find out exactly where it is, but with, you know, if you're a farmer and you're going to be threatened with jail time or $1,000 for every day that a genetically engineered crop is not, you know, stays in the ground, then you're really going to think twice about it. I mean, people aren't stupid, you know. So I think it really, the fact that there is some real consequence is going to go a long way. And then the Ag Commissioner, which deals with pesticide information and deals with farmers on a regular basis, is going to have to create some kind of system and work with the health department.
You mean create a system to locate these possible genetically engineered crops?
Or have, yeah, you know, that's going to be up to them in terms of how they gather that information.
Now, do you have any idea how they might gather that information? Your subcommittee filed 7 Freedom of Information Act requests.
Well, they would have to work directly with the farmers on that. You know, they would, one is, you know, the farmers would first know that, in fact, if everything passes through the supervisors as it should, then farmers would have to know that this ordinance exists and that there are consequences, both including financial fines and or prison time.
And I'm sorry, you're saying the Agricultural Commission would communicate this and monitor this?
Right.
So they would literally physically have to go out to a lot of farms in order to investigate? I mean, I know you don't have all the answers.
Yeah, I don't have all the answers, and in fact, the Agricultural Commission doesn't have all the answers. What I do know is that they regularly monitor pesticide use for appropriate or non-appropriate. You know, there are ways to use pesticide in a legal manner, and there are ways to not use it in a non-legal manner. And so they would probably have to apply those same kind of mechanisms to this.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, you know, that structure hasn't been fleshed out at this point.
And will fleshing out that structure be part of crafting the ordinance?
No,
The Agricultural Commission will flesh that out later.
Right, exactly. No, the ordinance doesn't get that specific. There's difference between writing an ordinance and a regulation, and the Ag Commission would have to sort of work with the realities of that.
This might be a question you don't want to answer, but can we trust the Agricultural Commission to actually, you know, follow through in any kind of powerful way on this?
Well, what I do know is that the more people are aware of the issue, and the more people let their voice be heard in terms of their feelings about this issue, then I think that will translate into, you know, an effective enforcement.
Mm-hmm. What's
the Ag Commissioner sat on this subcommittee,
uh-huh,
and was in agreement. Mm. It was a large majority that passed the moratorium. The criteria was a unanimous consensus and included the Ag Commissioner.
Mm-hmm. And again, how many people served on this committee?
13.
And of those, how many were not in agreement with this moratorium?
The vast majority, the actual vote was 8-2. It didn't, you know, because some people weren't present at the time. But you know, there was a minority who of about 4 people out of the 13 who spoke up against the placing of the moratorium. But everyone in that committee came to consensus on these criteria. These criteria, the findings were, the research was done. It all was vetted through the committee so that, you know, if there were questions, people poked holes in some of the research. If there were questions, people had to go back and relook at it. And the same thing happened with this criteria. So we really worked on it to have the consensus so that it would be a much stronger document to take to the Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm. So even those who didn't agree with the moratorium agreed to the final report, the result of all the research.
The five criteria that I'm right, all of that research, that there was everybody's voices was involved in saying, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. I have information that may conflict with that. And so that was all hashed out. There's hundreds of citations on that report.
Mm-hmm.
But the five criteria that I mentioned up front,
which are the what you say would be required to lift the moratorium.
Exactly.
Those five conditions. Those were all agreed to.
Those were all agreed to. And
okay.
The Ag Commissioner sat on that on the subcommittee. So,
interesting.
So that's the best answer I can give you for, mm-hmm. for your question.
Okay. I don't want to get too in-depth. I was thinking of asking you who oversees the Ag Commission, but we could go on for a long time, when really what's important is that people are given the information to start their own investigation into this issue and weigh in on it. It is a very important
issue.
And a
great way to start, you know, to understand it is you can get the report online.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you the I can give you the website for that.
Okay.
www.santacruzhealth, all one word, .org/GE. And it's just you'll see new report to the supervisors, and that's the there's an executive summary, which is about 3 or 4 pages, and then the full report is there if people are interested. But it goes into all the detail.
I'm sorry, the website one more time?
www.santacruzhealth, mm-hmm. one word, .org/GE.
To read the whole report.
Yep, if you want to read the whole report, or just the executive summary, it's all there.
Okay. The executive summary is 2 or 3 pages long. How long is the report? The
report's 56 pages long.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, again, I'm speaking with Artie Mangan. He served on the Santa Cruz County Genetic Engineering Subcommittee, which has recommended a moratorium on planting and growing of genetically engineered crops in Santa Cruz. The County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to accept this recommendation. Right, Artie?
Accept the recommendation and have the County Council work on language for the ordinance, right?
And that's what the upcoming county, one of the things, I would imagine, on the agenda of the County Board of Supervisors meeting this coming Tuesday, June 20th at 9 a.m. Can you talk about the meeting and the other ways people can make their voice heard?
Yeah, it's very important for people to do one of three things, to show up and support the language of the ordinance, or to call, which is call the supervisors and leave a message for one or all the supervisors at 454-2200. Or if you want to go online and write comments, you can go to www.co.santa-cruz.ca.us. Go to the bottom of the page, see the Board of Supervisors, click on Agenda and Minutes, and you'll see the June 20th agenda, and go to item 64, and there's a little white envelope. You can write your comments in there, and all the supervisors will get them, and they'll become part of the public record.
Great. And I will repeat all that information after Artie and I hang up. Is there any final comments you have, Artie, before we end the interview?
Well, I just want to say that I think that, again, it's really quite important in terms of local, having a local voice and people really letting the governing officials know what's going on. And at the county level, we still have the ability to talk to our supervisors and have influence. This is a critically important issue. Santa Cruz is making a statement because state and federal government is not doing their job to protect the public. And we hope that this can influence some common sense at the state level. But I really encourage people to weigh in, let the supervisors know that you're in support of this, so that we can, you know, we can do something that's significant and real and put some safeguards in place.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Artie. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, George.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, that was Artie Mangan, served on the Santa Cruz County Genetic Engineering Subcommittee, which has recommended a moratorium on planting and growing of genetically engineered crops in Santa Cruz. And the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors, again, will be meeting on Tuesday, June 20th at 9 a.m. They accepted this recommendation, and they are crafting the language of a GE precautionary moratorium ordinance. You can submit your comments in writing at the meeting, or you can present your remarks. You will have 3 minutes if you speak to present your remarks at the meeting, which again is at 701 Ocean Street in the County Government Building, room 525, on Tuesday, June 20th at 9 a.m. You can also submit a statement of support of the GE precautionary moratorium ordinance through email. And it's good when you do that to state your occupation or certain factors, like you're a parent, you're a gardener, you're an organic foods eater, nurse, etc., that have led you to support the GE precautionary moratorium ordinance. The way you can email your comments is to go to www.co.santa-cruz.ca.us, click on Agenda and Minutes on the lower right side of the page, find the June 20th agenda. You can scroll to the item that mentions GE Precautionary Moratorium Ordinance Public Hearing. Click on the white envelope to send your comment to all board members. You can write your comments in the window that pops up. Or you can cut and paste your comments into that window. Call each supervisor and urge them to support the GE precautionary moratorium. That's 454-2200. Well, they've already supported it. You can talk about your ideas and feelings on it and support it. Calling them at 454-2200. It's good to let them know you support that. And this, as Artie said, is an issue that's very important here as well as all over. We don't know, because of the lack of regulation, where these GE crops are being grown. These field trials of drug crops, the growing of genetically engineered crops for consumption. We don't know where GE research is being conducted in Santa Cruz County, if it's being conducted. We don't know all of this, and that's why this ordinance is so important, because it would put a moratorium on all of that activity with GE until the state of California implements and enforces a regulatory system that addresses all the concerns we talked about, which are contamination of organic and non-GE crops and wild plants, the growing of genetically engineered pharmaceuticals and industrial compounds, that there's no control over that, and they can be released into the environment, and sometimes, as Artie pointed out, end up in food, as well as the fact that GE seeds and root stock are not currently labeled. They're calling for that so that farmers and gardeners can choose whether or not they want to grow GE crops. And they're calling for the types and locations of GE crops currently being grown and tested in Santa Cruz County, that shall be communicated to the agricultural commissioner and available to the public upon request, and that liability regulations are promulgated that protect organic and conventional farmers and gardeners from contamination by GE crops. When all these are met, then the moratorium will be lifted. That's what the framework of the recommendation was. So again, if you want to weigh in on the language of the GE Precautionary Moratorium Ordinance and support it, you can call the County Board of Supervisors at 454-2200. Send an email at www.co.santa-cruz.ca.us, or go to the County Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, June 20th at 9 a.m., room 525, Government Building, 701 Ocean Street. And one last website to read again if you want the whole report. Already mentioned, you can go to santacruzhealth.org/GE to read either the 3-page executive summary of the report or the 56-page report from the GE subcommittee. And again, that website, santacruzhealth.org/GE, to read that.